Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. A very warm greeting to you wherever you are. People such as yourself are listening to this on radios all across America and in many parts of the world thanks to the World Wide Web. There is a whole lot of junk online. Content that no one who loves God and seeks to please and honor Him should be feasting on. But the internet also allows for the rich and wholesome content of God's Word to go far, indeed very far. And for this, we are grateful. So at this moment, on whatever plot of real estate you find yourself, thanks for taking time out as we bring to a close the 14th chapter of Genesis this week. As we do, down in verses 21 to 24, this man Abram is quite an example to us. The Lord God has really been working on his character and developing his servant into a man who glorifies God amidst an ungodly culture rife with idolatry. Abram worships the one true God, and his faith in him is what drives Abram to behave the way he does, to the king of that place we will read much more about in Genesis, Sodom. We have said that these four verses at the tail end of Genesis 14 show that the king of Sodom makes a proposal, and he's right to do so. But Abram rejects the proposal with reason and with an exception. I want to get to that exception, but first, tying together yesterday's content with today's, let me return to the reason Abram refuses to take anything for himself from the king of Sodom, even though it was within his rights to do so. Abram is very much concerned with the glory of God. He does not want to be seen as beholden to Sodom. He does not want to be known as the man whom Sodom made rich. He's very sensitive to the fear of offending the living God by stealing away God's glory. That's why Abram says to the king of Sodom, reading in Genesis 14, "I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear you would say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing." Why is it that Abram can say this with such conviction, with such strength of refusal? Those possessions on offer are worth a lot of money. What the king has on offer can make Abram an even wealthier man. But he can say such an emphatic no because everything that he has comes from God. And the Lord God always supplies for his needs and is his blessing. Abram does not need a human source for personal enrichment. Really, what this is, when it all comes down to it, is faith. Because of his absolute trust in the God who has called and commanded him and brought him and his small family all the way from Mesopotamia to Canaan, and repeatedly blessed them despite Abram's sin in Egypt, Abram knows that faith is the victory. I think of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, which says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." 1 John 5 verse 4. There was a massive temptation embedded in the king of Sodom's offer, but Abram's faith in God meant that he could look down on worldly wealth and treasure and resist it. Likewise, when we exercise a deepening faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that all of our needs will always be met. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We do not need to chase temptations for worldly wealth and esteem. Those are always traps, and if we are not as strong-minded as Abram was, before we know it, we will be carried away by these temporary pleasures. No, our faith in God is what is most prized. If we are born of God, we overcome the world through our faith. A lot of popular preachers like to say that your faith will make you wealthy. That's not biblical. What your faith will do is make you victorious over all the allurements that wealth offers you. Your focus and my focus is not on attaining more for ourselves, but rather on attaining more honor and more glory for God. How about us at this hour? Is our faith in God, and is that faith so strong as to give us the victory overcoming the world? Theologian John Calvin's words are striking here, quote, "Unless Abram had resolutely refused the spoils of war, the rumor would have immediately spread that, under the pretense of rescuing his nephew, he had been intent upon grasping the prey, against which it was necessary for him carefully to guard, not so much for his own sake, as for the glory of God, which would otherwise have received some mark of disparagement. Besides, Abram wished to arm himself with the name of God as with a shield against all the allurements of avarice." As usual, Calvin nails it, the allurements of avarice. We must guard against this also. We will hear from Calvin again in a few moments as we now look at that exception Abram makes. I'm reading in Genesis 14, verse 24. Abram is speaking to the king of Sodom, and Abram says, "I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their share." There is the single exception. Abram personally will take nothing, but as for the men who went with him and supported his war against the kings of the northeast, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, Abram will not deny them their share. And here again is a great lesson, very applicable to us. As Christians, we may limit our own liberties. We may say for ourselves that we will decline that which is rightfully ours. But that does not mean we impose our limitations on other Christians. Pastor Robert Harbash writes, "We may, for what we believe is for our own spiritual development, adopt certain self-imposed severities. But we may not judge others by them or by lack of them. We may practice certain forms of self-denial, but may not impose them on others, nor judge them for not adopting the same practice. If Abram had taken the goods, it might have appeared as though the king of Sodom had made him rich. But for his confederates to have done so was only to receive that which Abram had obtained legal right for them, and which they themselves had earned as mustering out pay." That was Robert Harbash, and he's right. And John Calvin puts it this way, "But an exception is added, namely that Abram will not allow his own liberality to be injurious to his allies, nor make them subject to his laws." Again, how true. This is something that many of us Christians struggle with. I remember when I was in college, towards the end of my time there, there was a measure of a spiritual renewal sweeping through some Christian colleges and universities. And there was a large gathering of students pulled together, I think, in St. Louis. I was a part of a team of students from my school who joined with our dean of the chapel to fly there, and when we got there, a lot of what was done was so wonderful. Bible teaching, prayer, worshiping God in song, fellowshipping, and yes, fasting was a part of this. Fasting is certainly biblical, but it is limiting one's liberty, and that is the liberty to eat. And unfortunately, there was significant pressure put on students to fast. It became a judge of our Christian discipleship if we opted out of the fasting and ate. I dedicated myself to fast one meal a day before God in the privacy of my own heart, but not to fast all three meals. But the other Christians definitely did judge me for that. If I truly wanted renewal to spread across churches and campuses, then I would not eat all day. If I wanted God to bring revival to America, then I would not eat all day. That was the not-so-subtle message. Now, this is only an example, but one that is very real to my experience. To be honest, there have also been times when I turned this around. I limited my liberty, and then I had the nerve to want to impose that onto other believers. So I am very far from being innocent in this poor attitude that can creep into all our lives as God's people. Today, Abram, with his exception, teaches, mentors, exemplifies, corrects, and instructs all of us. Are you trying to impose one of the limits of your Christian liberty onto someone else? Will you pause along with me and reconsider doing so? One of the venues where this is common is the church, when a group of believers, for good reason, limit a liberty, and for bad reasons, impose that on everyone else in the church. This creates unnecessary division and hard feelings. I am not talking about clear violations of Scripture. Those are always worth division. When one side is comfortable with disobeying the clear command of God and a remnant remains faithful to obedience. What I speak of is something like what Abram did, or forced fasting in my case. In these instances, we must always be very careful. I trust you get what I mean. And I trust that you'll join us tomorrow. Why? Because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.